Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have good news and bad news for just for myself personally. I mean, the good news is we had a great vacation, and so just want to, you know, share that it was probably the best family vacation that we've ever had. Nobody got sick. Nobody got hurt. Everything just went perfect. You know, you hit all the green lights. You know, it's one of those things. So we're happy to report that. My bad news is I have just the past couple days, my allergies are just killing me. I don't know if anybody else out there has bad allergies, but whatever's in the air is just destroying me. So I've got some Kleenexes up here in case I need them. So I don't have COVID, I just have allergies. So speak. Yeah, that's why I am back in Kentucky, home of basketball, home of horses, and home of allergies. Yeah, it's bad. So, speaking of COVID, it was about 9 days ago, 10 days ago, the CDC updated the guidelines and recommendations, and so that impacts us. In a positive way. So the two main things for us in churches and worship is if you are fully vaccinated, 2 weeks after you've had your second dose, you can attend worship without a mask. You do not have to socially distance at all if you are fully vaccinated. And so if you're unvaccinated, the requirement is to still wear a mask, still socially distance. And those who are fully vaccinated, if you want to continue wearing a mask, you're free to do that as well. But that's kind of the big update. And here I'm seeing some faces that just look so different to me. over this past year, I mean, I know what y'all look like with a mask on, but without that mask, I'm getting smiles here this morning. So hallelujah for that. Praise the Lord for that. And I think by June, I think it's June 11th, churches can meet in full 100% capacity and pretty much be able to do most normal things by June 11th is the projection. So that's good news. Maybe that deserves a hallelujah, a round of applause. Thank you, Lord. So that's a big update on that front. Another announcement is that right after worship this morning, we have our PPRC, Pastor Parish Relations Committee meeting. So if you're on that, we'll see you after worship for that meeting. Susan, did you want to say anything about that? Or?
Well, I sent out a group message. I did hear back from Laura. Of course, they're on vacation.
Okay. She says what?
Laura said to proceed without her. Okay. She would catch up.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Sounds good. Any other announcements? That's all that I have this morning. Okay. Well, I want to call us to worship this morning with a little differently, but with a scripture reading, because this is Pentecost Sunday. The Sunday in the church year that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, the giving of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to refresh our minds and our hearts this morning of the wonderful gift that it is to have God's Spirit living and dwelling inside of us. So if you'd like to turn with me, we're going to read portions of Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house, the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It's that last part. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so this morning, as we worship together, let us call upon the name of the Lord. There's a lot of things that we could pursue, a lot of things that we could go after this morning. But let's go after the Lord. Let's seek his kingdom first here this morning. Let's call upon his name and be saved. Amen. Amen. Well, I invite you, as we do that, to stand with me, and we will turn in our hymnals to number 89. Susan, would you like to lead us? Number 89, we'll be singing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
We'll do verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4, page 89. Can you stand with us, please?
Drive the dark of doubt away.
field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea. Flashing sea. I love the ocean. You know, we just got back, and I was reminded when we were there of there are some songs that talk about wave after wave. God, you know, God's grace is just like wave after wave. They just keep coming, and they just keep washing over us over and over again. And it was such a joy just to see the kiddos. They love that ocean. They had so much fun in it. And I did too. And that flashing sea just keeps coming and coming. And it's like God's love and God's grace just keeps washing over us. And so, anyways, that just stuck out to me as we were singing that. And oh, but by the way, the kids and Paige, they send their greetings and love to you this morning as well. They should be here next week. Got our meeting after church, and it's hard for them to stay attentive that long without going into chaos. So I know you all understand that, but they send their love. Our next scripture here this morning comes from 1 John. Right near the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 2. First John 2, we'll start in verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful here this morning. Grateful, Lord, that you call us your children. Lord, grateful that we can call you our Father in heaven who loves us. And so we pray, Lord, that during this time, it'd be just like we're climbing up on your lap and you just hold us and speak to us just like any father would to their children. Lord, hold us and teach us and speak to us this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. When I say this hour, I don't mean that my sermon's going to be an hour. By the way. That is good news. Well, it's perhaps the most well-known sermon in the history of the early Americas. It comes from the preacher and revivalist Jonathan Edwards, who played a very important role in what is called the First Great Awakening in the Americas during the 1700s. And his sermon was titled, you've probably heard of this before, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And in public school, I actually had to read this, surprising, that in public school this was required. I had to read this for one of my high school English classes. Has anybody ever read this or heard this sermon before? A couple people, yeah? Well, I was a brand new Christian at the time. I mean, just brand new. I mean, right out of the womb, right? I had had this radical change of Jesus transforming my life when I heard and had to read this sermon in high school. And I knew one thing and one thing only, and that was the love of Jesus. That's all I knew, was that Jesus loved me, and that had transformed my life. And so this sermon really bugged me. It really bugged me. Sinners in the hands of an angry God? Jesus was an angry God? What? And it's really the ultimate fire and brimstone sermon. I mean, it is the model for all scare the hell out of you sermons. I mean, it is. And I could read some of it here this morning, but I'll spare you. We don't want any weeping and gnashing of teeth here this morning. But this sermon is all but totally void of any sense of the love of God. And I share this with you this morning because this has really been on my heart lately. And I just wanted to share what God has been teaching me here recently. Every day, from the moment that I wake up to the moment that my kids go to bed, I'm with them and I meet most of their felt needs. About 12 hours every day, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., I'm with all three kiddos. And it's a lot of work caring for three kids. And I know that many of you have done this in your lives with your kids. And I know some of you are even still doing it with some grandchildren as well. And so you're no stranger to this. And you know that it just takes all of you to do it. It takes all of you to do it. And that's how it should be. Our kids deserve and our grandkids deserve our love and our care and our attention. And that's what children need. Children need that more than anything else. They need love and care. So being with my kids nearly every waking moment has taught me, it's taught me a lot. It's grown and challenged me as a person in ways that I never wanted to be grown or challenged as a person. I want to share one of those ways this morning. You know, people often say that they never really understand God's love until they had children of their own and became parents. And so, you know, holding your child for the very first time was love at first sight. Here's this new human being, this new life that looks just like you, and you are responsible for them, and God has placed them into your hands, into your care, and entrusted you with their precious little lives. And it's quite the responsibility, but it's also quite the joy. And being a parent reveals perhaps the most important attribute and characteristic of God and who God is. And that is that God is our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? Our Father who loves us so deep, so wide, so long, and so high. And so God is our Father, and we are his children through Christ. Through Christ, the only begotten Son, the one-of-a-kind Son, the unique and only true Son of God. It is through Jesus. And so, instead of this sermon, instead of this sinners in the hands of an angry God business from Jonathan Edwards, perhaps we should flip that sermon title on its head. And I suggest maybe the story or the sermon of our lives that we should be preaching to ourselves and to others is instead that we are children in the hands of a loving Father. Children in the hands of a loving Father. That's what I think the biblical message is. That we are God's children and that he loves us so. Now, of course, sometimes children anger their parents. Sometimes, right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But I don't define my relationship with Asher and Ayla and Adeline. Though I don't think I've gotten angry with Adeline yet. She's too young and precious and adorable for me to be mad at her yet. But I don't define my relationship with my kids as them being demon children in the hands of an angry parent. You know, that's not how I define my relationship with them at all. That just sounds ridiculous. And if that were the case, I would hope that you would call Child Protective Services if that was, you know, my approach to being a parent and my approach with my kids. But, you know, the truth is that kids are kids. They mess up. They make mistakes. They're learning. And in those moments when maybe they make a mistake or a bad choice and do what they shouldn't do, even though they already know the rule and they know that it's wrong, even then, the last thing that kids need is someone yelling at them and someone threatening them with punishments. That's kind of what we get from Jonathan Edwards' sermon. Threatening everyone with punishments and the torments of hell. That's the last thing that children need in those moments. Yes, children need discipline. And we discipline our children, and every family disciplines differently. But yes, there needs to be some sort of you know, correction for when they go astray. But more than discipline, children need love. Kids need connection. Kids need attention. And many times the reason that they've acted out, not always, but many times the reason that they've acted out or gotten into trouble is precisely because they aren't getting that attention. They aren't getting that connection. They aren't getting that love. And so I try to initially get down on one knee, touch them on the shoulder, look them in the eyes and say, "What's going on here? You know, are you okay?" You know, and I tried that. Now, that's not always what happens. But we found that more often than not, that love is far more effective than the yelling and the punishments and dealing out judgments. And like I said a few weeks ago, when we were talking about preaching, the feeling, the motivation that we should be preaching is we should be trying to instill love in people, not fear. And that love should be our motivation for having a relationship with God, not fear of eternal torment in hell. Fear, I said, will never save anyone. I believe that. I don't believe that fear will ever save anyone. But love will. Love is what will save a person. And this morning, as we read in 1 John, God calls us his children. And when we make mistakes, when we mess up, when we make bad choices, and when we do what sometimes we know is wrong, God isn't there staring at us with a firm gaze. He doesn't have this stern face. He's not there with his belt off, ready to strike. Instead, when we sin, when we make a mess of our lives, we don't find ourselves as sinners in the hands of an angry God. No, when we disobey, when we knowingly do what's wrong, we find ourselves to be children in the hands of a loving God. You are a daughter in the hands of a loving father. You are a son in the hands of a loving father. Shoot, Jesus hung out with the sinners, didn't he? Right? We don't hear Jesus preaching. We don't read in the Gospels when Jesus goes, hangs out with the sinners, says, "Hey, you know, you all are going to hell. Let me tell you how bad it's going to be, so you better start following me. We don't hear Jesus doing that at all. In fact, the only time that we hear Jesus come close to that is when he's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious leaders of the time, who they were the people who were writing sermons, sinners in the hands of God, or sinners in the hands of an angry God. And so Jesus went and ate with sinners. He spent time with them. He got to know them. Hallelujah. Because if Jesus didn't do that, I wouldn't be here. I'm sure many of that's your story as well. If Jesus didn't eat with sinners and didn't care about sinners, I wouldn't be here. And he got to know them. He had what we see, and we don't always in the Gospels get little comments into the mind of what Jesus was doing. Oftentimes it just says what he does, but sometimes the biblical authors, they highlight and say, Jesus had compassion on them. And we get into his mind and what he was thinking. He had compassion on sinners. And so throughout the day, this past week or so, and especially before bedtime, I've been telling Asher and Ayla three things. And this is what's really on my heart to share this morning, because I think that people really need to hear it. I know that I need to hear it, and I've been telling myself these things as well. And it's this. You are loved, you are forgiven, and everything is okay. You are loved, you are forgiven, and everything is okay. Sometimes this dad does yell. Sometimes this dad hands out the punishments and the judgments. And sometimes they're well earned and deserved. But like one person said after Jonathan Edwards' sermon, he said, Mr. Edwards, remember the mercies of God. And at the end of the day, I don't want my kids dwelling on what they've done wrong. Because what we say as parents to our kids really sticks. Paige counsels a lot of children and a lot of adults who have, you know, had their parents' voice. They're, you know, what parents say is the voice, the inner voice that the children hear in their head. And so she counsels a lot of people who have gone through, you know, lots of bad relationships with parents. And so I don't want my kids dwelling on that moment of the sternness of... That's the third time you jumped on your sister. Go to timeout. You know, I don't want them hearing that voice. What I want them hearing is, you're loved, you're forgiven, and everything's okay now. And so, no parent wants their kids to be dwelling on what they did wrong. I want to remind them that no matter what they do, no matter what they do, that I will always love them, I'll always care for them, no matter what. They should go to bed with smiles on their faces. That Daddy loves them, even though they made mistakes that day. Even though Daddy made mistakes that day, maybe yelled too much and took away their favorite toy for the afternoon or whatever it may have been. But none of that matters at the end of the day. What matters is how much they are cared for by me and Paige. And Jesus said that, you know, each day has enough trouble of its own. And we are all so good at getting ourselves into lots of trouble each day. And it's easy to begin to think, well, you know, God doesn't love me. He's holding this against me. Things aren't okay, things aren't right between me and God because of what I did or thought or said or how I hurt somebody. And that's where our minds go, I think. I think that's human nature. We tend to think those things. And maybe it's Satan as well. But let the Holy Spirit, this Pentecost Sunday, let the Holy Spirit whisper into your heart this morning those three things. You are loved. You are forgiven. Everything is okay. God loves me. God forgives me when I make a mess of everything, and everything is going to be all right. And everything is all right right now. I am a child in the hands of a loving Father. And I want to hear you say that here this morning. I'm a child in the hands of a loving Father. Let's hear that. I'm a child in the hands of a loving Father. So if you've messed up this week, hear God saying this right now, right here, in this very moment. He's saying it with a smile on his face, with kindness and tenderness and gentleness in his voice. I love you. I forgive you. Everything is all right. John says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And he finishes that section saying, everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. So let me hear you say this again this morning. I am loved.
I am forgiven.
Everything is all right. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand together. Lord, you're our Father. You care for us. You're there when we mess up. And you're not there to deal out death and judgment and punishment, but you're there to pick us up and help us out and ask us, how can I help you? How can I help you feel better right now? How can I love you right now? I'm just going to sit here and hold you, if that's okay. So Lord, Holy Spirit, come down right now. Bubble up within us, because you're within us. Pour your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit once again here this morning. Fill us up with your love and grace, Lord. We wait for you, just like the disciples waited for you. Let's just take a moment of silence and just wait for the Lord for a moment. Thank you for holding us in your arms, God. We love you too. Amen. I invite you to turn in your hymnals if you want to page 881 as we declare our faith in our loving Father. 881, the Apostles' Creed. Let us declare the love of our Father here this morning. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Who wants to share a praise this morning? Susan.
We sure had a good time being away for a month. The month was way We go away from home. I found that out real quick. So, but you know, we've never been able to do that before. But I wanted to say we had a great trip, a safe trip. We were with our best friends. Everything went well. Just thank you all for your prayers. That we did have a safe trip. It was a lot of fun.
Good.
I'm glad to be home.
Yeah. There's no place like home. Well, we praise the Lord with you. I'll share as well. That's my praise too. I mean, we just our vacation could not have done any better. And I just kept waiting for something to go wrong, you know, because those things just happened. But it didn't. Even when we were scared that we might be stranded down there because there was no gasoline. There was, we had no problem finding it. So hallelujah for that. So we praise the Lord for the same thing.
So, I guess the scripture, I can't really remember, it's like the goodness of God is the man to repent. You could say the love of God is the same thing when he's made to repent. Mm-hmm. But just like David had God's own heart, even though he sinned, he loved David, but when you suffer the consequences, God doesn't want us to suffer those consequences of what sin brings. And just like my daughter, Ashley, she got to, her and her husband got to adopt her girl that took from people that were on drugs, and the child was scared to death, and she wouldn't go out of the room, and she would stay and wet herself, and because of that, and she even done that at their house. But then they were corrective because they seen her issues and her problems and she needed help. But that strength of their discipline, and so they went to court and they thought they were going to lose the girl. But the girl was really doing terrible in class and all the teachers stood up for them. And so when they were going before court, the their lawyer said, because they wanted to get the girl back, but they hadn't changed. And so the judge told him, the lawyer said, well, that's just hearsay. They're lawyers, and that's just your hearsay. And so my daughter Ashley thought they were going to lose the girl. But the judge looked at the records, and she even excelled from being with them that period of time in school, and she went to a grade higher than the grade that she was supposed to be in. Even though their parents lost that child, you know. And God loves them that much to show what they lost. You know, of the repentance of their own heart, of losing that child to my daughter. You know? And my daughter was real gracious because they still interact with them through some sort of way. But, you know, it's the love of God. Even though we do wrong, it's the love of God that changes the hearts of people.
Yeah. That's a powerful testimony. Any other praises you want to share?
I want to praise God for being with me all the time and guiding me. He's nice to talk to.
Amen. It says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Did I see a nudge over here?
Well, my stomach keeps wanting to give praise.
Well, we'll pray quick, man. I'm hungry too. I didn't even get breakfast. I tell you, my alarm didn't go off this morning. I woke up at 9:40. That's when I leave to come here. So the Lord got me here. So I'm hungry too. Any prayer requests?
And it's because I lose almost everything. But there's something that happened to me that I recognize this. Yesterday, I was a few minutes thinking about seeing I get my new glasses, not a lens had fallen out. I was was thinking about, that's good. These classes don't learn out. I had 2 pairs of glasses before this, and the lens fell out many times. The point is that I just almost immediately the calm that thought to my mind, I mean Nebuchadnezzar said, this is the Babylon that I built. Therefore, that's good. And what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? So the lens came out. And I feel something fell, but I don't know why. Then I look on the ground and I pick it up and put it in my pocket, when I came to the house and sit at the table, I realized that I don't put it back over here, and I look for it, and I look for it, and I'm starting to get concerned because I need my glasses to look in the computer and read. And I said, well, maybe I let it in the car or still on the ground or I drop it. I knew that I put it in my pocket. I checked my pocket, I couldn't find it. But this is not the first time that shadow finds him for me and Tommy or June. Many times that I do something and they come in and say, where you been the last time? Why did you remember what you used the last time? And I go and find it. Many times. And that's praise to God. Because I recognize Cheryl and I recognize June that they can help me to find things. But Cheryl said first, let's pray. And Cheryl do that many times. Many times we hear the ambulance or hear a policeman or hear the sound of the siren. They ask to pray. And Cheryl don't. And you. So Cheryl pray. Put my hand on my back pocket. And I tried before and I couldn't find it. And I find my leg. And I believe it's God giving us a sign or something that we, like Proverbs said, that we do rely on God, know in us. Because what we know sometimes do not work. So that's my praise to God. That's when you ask Cheryl. I remember that.
Amen. We praise the Lord for that. Any other praises or requests you want to share? Go ahead, Bud.
I want you to remember Joyce Lee in prayer. She has that COPD and now it's got double pneumonia.
Oh, she's older than that. She's older than I am.
Uh-oh.
She's about 2 years older than me, so she'd be about 71. She was 2 years ahead of me in school.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, Tiger.
Okay, I have 2 requests. A doctor used to be our doctor, Dr. Stephen Sternberg, just passed away this past week. Me and my mom moved our primary care just in time, and we just pray that you to remember his family.
Yeah.
And also another request, my mom's friend Joanne Evans, they found another lump somewhere on her chest, and they're going to do a surgery to remove it and find out whether it's benign or malignant.
Okay. Is it Joanne?
Joanne, I think it's two words.
Okay.
concerned with is it's like a commandment from the Bible that the psalmist pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And in this time and in a time of paz, Jerusalem is being by the sin of the Jewish people pray for the sin. Or had problem because something they had not do right. So we all are called to pray for Jerusalem. We should remember that it's not that we love the Jews or we're trying to do this. But remember that blessed are those who treat the children of God the right way. And they still the people of God. I distinguish the church and the Jews. They're two different groups. When the Jews become Christian, it belongs to the Church of Jesus Christ. But meanwhile, they're still there. And my point is that until a person is conscient and reject Jesus, is out of the will of God completely. For those people, God treating very strongly. It's like Jonathan Edwards said, sinners, because they know what they're doing and they don't do the right thing, and they are sinners in the hand of God. And when those young people realize that their parents doing something wrong, trying to get God in a wrong way, and they turn to Jesus, they become Christian. But meanwhile, we have to pray for them.
Yes. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, one more.
Yeah, well, just my son is one of those who needs to be prayed for. So he will go to Jesus. So I pray for that, and I just pray for God to be working in his life and on his heart. So
let's pray. Lord, we praise you, Lord, that you're our Father who hears us, who's with us. And Lord, we want to praise you for the wonderful vacation that Susan and Randy had, Lord. Thank you that they had a great time and just got to enjoy friendship and fellowship. Thank you, Lord, that they're able to be back and enjoy home sweet home. And thank you. Same for myself and my family. And Lord, we just had a great time. So we praise you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, with Son, Lord, what you have done in the life of his daughter and their adopted child. And Lord, just we pray for them and even for biological parents, Lord, that they would see your love through them. Lord, we thank you for Carolyn. Thank you, Lord, that you are always with her, Lord, and that you walk with her and talk with her along life's narrow way. And thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for Hedel's lost lenses and for the powerful testimony of the power of prayer and just relying upon you. And thank you that he was able to find that and come closer to you through that. Lord, we lift up Joyce Lee and just pray, Lord, that you'd have mercy upon her as she's in need of great healing, Lord. We lift up Tiger and Janine's doctor, Lord, who passed away and their his family, Lord. We pray that you would help them during this time of grief And Lord, just bring them comfort that passes all understanding. Lord, we lift up Joanne Evans and pray for healing for her. And pray that that they'd get a good report back, that it'd be benign. Lord, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jesus said that he longed to gather together Jerusalem like a mother hen within its wings, all of the chicks. And so, Lord, we pray for Jerusalem. We pray for your first chosen people. Paul tells us that God forbid you have not forsaken your first chosen people. Through their disobedience, we are able to hear the gospel, us Gentiles, us sinners. And that somehow, Lord, you will bring all Israel will be saved before it's all said and done. And so we do pray for Israel, Lord, for the Jews and for peace, Lord, there in the Holy Land, God, as they are fighting and war. And Lord, bring your peace in the midst of that. And finally, Lord, we want to lift up Dustin Libby, Lord. We are grateful for him, Lord, and we pray for him. We pray for him to come to you, Jesus. We pray that you'd soften his heart to hear the gospel and respond in love. Lord, we thank you for him. We pray that all that needs to happen with his classes and whatnot would just fall into place for him as well. And at this time, Lord, we just want to lift up our unspoken requests to you. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. I invite you to stand now as we sing the doxology and remind you to give your tithes and offerings as you come or as you go today. And let us praise the Lord together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above.
Given, Lord, it is far more blessed that we give than to receive. And so, Lord, use these funds, Lord, to bring people to Jesus. That's the heart. Lord, help us to reach out and use this wisely. In Jesus' name, amen. You may remain standing, and Susan will lead us in our closing hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's number 526.
We'll sing all three verses.
Oh, despised, forsaken. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
We should never be discouraged. That's what the song says. Because you are loved, you are forgiven, and everything is okay. Let's say this together. I am loved, I am forgiven, everything is okay. The Lord is good. Go in His peace, that everything is okay. Amen.